newstoday.com/en. Supplication on Thursdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who has taken away the shadowy night by His power and brought the sight-giving day through His mercy. He has clothed me in its brightness and given me its favor. O Allah, just as Thou hast spared me for this day, so also spare me for its likes. Bless the Prophet Muhammad and his household, and torment me not in it and in other nights and days by allowing me to commit unlawful acts and to clothe myself in sins. Provide me with its good, the good of all within it, and the good of everything after it, and turn away from me its evil, the evil of all within it, and the evil of everything after it. O Allah, by the protective compact of Islam, I seek mediation with Thee, and by the inviolability of the Quran, I rely upon Thee. By Muhammad, the Chosen, Allah bless him and his household, I seek intercession with Thee, so recognize my protective compact, by which I hope my need will be granted. O most merciful of the merciful, O Allah, decree for me on Thursday 5 things, which none embraces but Thy generosity, and none supports but Thy favors. Health through which I may have the strength to obey Thee. Worship by which I may deserve Thy plentiful reward. Plenty in my state through lawful provision. And that Thou makest me secure in the places of fear through Thy security. And placest me in Thy fortress against the striking of worries and sorrows. Bless Muhammad and his household. And make my seeking his mediation as an intercessor give profit on the day of resurrection. Surely, Thou art the most merciful of the merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. The
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Dear friends, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. We're going to speak about loneliness in Islam. Today, Wednesday, is the 8th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1442, of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 3rd of the month of Day, 1399 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of December, 2020, of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran, we listen to chapter Az-Zumar, verse 53.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ
Say, O my servants who have transgressed against themselves by sinning, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, it is He who is the forgiving, the merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse in question provides all sinners with the hope of turning to Allah the Almighty, since the main goal behind all of them is to guide men towards Him, Allah, rather than hostility and vengeance. He, Allah, is oft forgiving, the most compassionate. Reflecting on the meaning of the verse indicates that it is the most promising verse addressed to all sinners. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "No verse may be found throughout the Holy Quran to be more inclusive than this one."
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine.
Overcoming loneliness is what we are talking about. For some, the experience of loneliness can be extended and debilitating. It can have a negative effect on academic performance and on personal growth and development. Still, loneliness is a normal experience that people can learn to cope with constructively and effectively. We can experience loneliness even when we are around many people. Loneliness is a painful emotional feeling of being disconnected, cut off, or isolated from the rest of our world. It is a feeling that something is missing from our lives. Some people feel disconnected or left out because they don't know how to approach or connect others socially. Many fear being rejected, so they don't attempt to make friends or develop relationships.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa bi nasta'in.
In this episode, we are going to be concerned with loneliness and the dangers of loneliness and how to cure loneliness. Now we find that there are some people who live with other people, but still they find that they are really alone. I mean, intellectually, psychologically, they feel very lonely, although many people are around them. Some people may want of us because of our wealth, because of our social position, and so on. However, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the highest and most powerful power and the most powerful authority in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't with us because of meeting his own needs. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us. I mean, it's we who need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that the best companion or the best associate, the best mate is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Holy Quran, it's indicated in Allah ma'al ladhina attaqaw wal ladhina hum muhsinun. Certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is together with those people who are pious and they are good doers. And then we find that in the Holy Quran, it's indicated, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me so that I would remember you. According to a piece of hadith directed to an infallible imam regarding the exegesis or commentary concerned with the very Quranic verse, فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me so that I would remember you. The explanation was that piety, I mean, being always God-fearing, means that we live in such a state that we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always with us, and he oversees us constantly, without interruption at all.
I don't know where my heart will take me, but I know your light will protect me from this fragile world.
Cope with loneliness. Keep yourself busy. There are numerous ways of keeping busy in your daily life to divert yourself from your loneliness, from your lonely feelings. From volunteering for a cause that you believe in, to joining an art or exercise class, there is so much out there to pass your time and achieve productive, creative, and beneficial results. You can even try one new thing each week or each other week that can help you cope and meet new people, like painting or yoga, going to the library, attending interesting events and workshops, and of course learning a new skill like self-defense or cooking. Certain instances may need you to recognize and fight the temptation you get to isolate yourself. You can start small, like meeting for coffee or walking in the park. I know that it is easier said than done, but you need to take the first step.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah.
unexpected blessings of being alone. Being alone has its own perks. Training ourselves to embrace being alone can also train us to be honest with ourselves, discover who we truly are, and work towards improving ourselves for Allah's sake. Sitting with ourselves and honestly scrutinizing the self in order to see strength, weaknesses, and areas for improvement is essential for character development. When we look into who we want to be, we are bound to make some decisions that might raise eyebrows and wag tongues. Being okay with being alone makes this somewhat easier. We should not be afraid to stand out and be the only one praying or wearing hijab, knowing that it is something Allah will be pleased with. We should not be afraid to stand up for what we believe in, even if it makes us unpopular. Getting used to being alone can give us the confidence to make these decisions.
One of the dangers of loneliness is that it leads to suicide. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who has loneliness is suicidal, but everyone who's suicidal experiences loneliness. That is the most common state associated with suicide. And do you know the rates of suicide? Every 40 seconds, someone in the world is committing suicide. Every 40 seconds. And remember this, for every actual suicide, there are 25 attempts at suicide. Meaning there are 24 more people in these 40 seconds who are trying to commit suicide, but they fail. Doesn't go through. Their plan doesn't go through. So can you imagine? Every 2 seconds, someone is trying to end their life. Every 2 seconds. We're talking here, and tens of people are trying to end their lives. It's a serious problem. Every suicidal person experiences severe loneliness. So it's very important for us, my dear brothers and sisters, to protect ourselves from loneliness. One way to protect yourself from depression and loneliness is to get married earlier and to have a bigger family. When you're 50 and 60 and you have children and grandchildren in your life and you've raised them well, that protects you from loneliness. But when you've delayed marriage, even there are some people today, they don't even want to get married. Sometimes I ask them, what's the matter with you? You're 30, you're not getting married. Why? Yeah, say, you know, these days people are getting divorced and I am afraid of an abusive husband, a bad wife. It's not a valid excuse. You're 30 right now, maybe you're energetic, you're working. You're not feeling the danger, but wait till you're 40, 45, and 50. Then depression will strike you hard. When you see you have no children, no grandchildren, your life will be empty. Then what are you going to do? Work is not going to satisfy you all your life. When you grow older, nothing satisfies you more than seeing your children and grandchildren. It just removes your miseries, takes away your pain and depression. It takes away that loneliness.
Dear friend, thank you for joining us. This is the end of this episode of today's special. Inshallah, we'll continue this topic on the next episode. Be with us. Fi amanillah.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us? Thank you.
food for thought.
Hello, everyone. And since people in the West are on the threshold of Christmas, which Christians in Europe and Americans believe to be the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, we hereby present you a thought-stimulating statement from the virgin-born Messiah, as recorded in the Gospel of St. Barnabas, about the coming of the last messenger of God, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O blessed time, when he shall come to the world, believe me that I have seen him and have done him reverence, even as every prophet has seen him, seeing that of his spirit God gives to them prophecy. And when I saw him, my soul was filled with consolation, saying, O Muhammad, God be with you, and may he make me worthy to you to untie your shoe latchet. For obtaining this, I shall be a great prophet and holy one of God.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Many times it has been mentioned, and I'm sure listeners have heard this many times before, that the human being has two dimensions of existence, one being his physical dimension, the other being his spiritual dimension. And in the tradition, this is also quite clear. And in the tradition we will share with you today, this duality or this dichotomy that we have amongst us is quite clear. We see that, yes, there are certain things we do that feeds our physical body. Obviously, we need food to eat, and eating nourishes our physical body. It gives us energy. It enables us to live. It enables us to survive. It enables our organs to work and to function properly. It also enables us to think. But there's also a second side, that the spiritual side, that soul, that ruh, that heart, if you want to call it as well, as we mentioned previously, it itself, and it also needs a type of food, a type of nourishment. And in this tradition of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, it's a very beautiful tradition in that he says that what is the food of that soul? How do you nourish your soul? The Imam is reported to have said that the nourishment of the body is food. It's quite obvious. As we mentioned, you need food to survive. the minerals and so on that the body needs to replenish is gained from food, obviously in its proportions. Whilst the nourishment of the soul, this is very beautiful, is feeding others. That if you give that food that you need for your own physical body, obviously if you have access of it, or if you just want to feed somebody you want to feed, whether you have a banquet even, the hadith is not clear. You invite people to your home, you feed a poor person, you have a meal with your family, and so on and so forth. You actually prepare something to give. You prepare or you provide funds for food to be distributed at the majalis, for example. Many different instances and reference can be found for this tradition. But all of them, if it's considered as feeding others, you're actually not feeding, you're only feeding their physical body. But at the same time as you're feeding and giving them the necessity of life, you're feeding your soul. And this is more important, that we know that our physical bodies will wear down, will eventually, you know, disappear to a certain extent. But our soul will remain, our soul will be that which on the day of judgment will be judged. And that much of food that we have given will be something that will assist us and enable us on the day of judgment to stand with our hands up high and say, look, alhamdulillah, I actually did something good for my soul. I did not just feed my stomach, but I fed the stomach of others. And by doing so, my spiritual body gained weight, if you like to call it that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to feed our soul just as we feed our body. And just as we take importance in feeding our body, we take the same importance in feeding our soul. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh no, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناديتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, a program that broadcasts from Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran. And its aim is to bring the recitation of the Holy Quran into our lives. In this program, first we're going to have some quotes about the Holy Quran by some Western scholars. Then, we are going to listen to some verses by famous reciters. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed, is going to analyze the recitation. And at the end, we have a segment called Attractiveness of the Holy Quran, presented by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. Stay tuned. In this part, we are going to have some scientists' comments regarding the Noble Quran. Professor Dorja Rao, Professor of Marine Geology at King Abdul Aziz University, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, has said about the Holy Quran, It is difficult to imagine that this type of knowledge was existing at that time, around 1400 years back. Maybe some of the things they have simple ideas about. But to describe those things in great detail is very difficult. So this is definitely not simple human knowledge. A normal human being cannot explain this phenomenon in that much detail. So I think the information must have come from a supernatural source. Dear audience, now let's listen to the recitation of Surah Ash-Shams, recited by Sheikh Shaban Abdul Aziz Sayyad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. What you're listening to is the program Let's Recite the Quran. You just listened to Surah Shams, recited by Sheikh Shaban Abdul Aziz Sayyad. And now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والشمس وضحاها والشمس وضحاها. In this verse, all of the letters are letters of tarqiq except the dad. Dhuha, dhuhaha. You have to pronounce it with a full mouth and with the root of the tongue raised. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ قَمَرِ. The qaf also has tafkhim, so you have to pronounce this also with a full mouth, but everything else is with an empty mouth. إذا تلاها إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها. We have a noon which is مشدد, has a شدة in the word النهار. So you have to hold it nasally for two vowel counts. والنهار والليل إذا يغشاها يغشاها the غين. We have to make sure that we pronounce it correctly. غ غ. We use the root of the tongue touching the uvula, and we make this gargling sound. يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والسماء. We have مد المتصل in the word السماء. We have to lengthen it to four or five vowel counts. والأرض وما طحاها والأرض وما طحاها. ط. The ط is the strongest letter in the Arabic language. You have to make sure that we pronounce it with a lot of strength. ط. طحاها ونفس وما سواها ونفس وما. We have إضغام مع الغنة. We have to hold the vowel nasally for two vowel counts. فألهمها فجورها وتقواها فجورها. راء has to be pronounced with تفخيم, even though it's a letter of ترقيق, but it has to be pronounced with تفخيم because it has a فتحة. قد أفلح من زك من زكاها. We have إخفاء of نون ساكنة. We approximate the place of articulation of the next letter, which is زاي, and at the same time we make a nasal sound for two vowel counts.
وقد خاب من دساها وقد خاب.
خاب, we have the highest level of تفخيم in خاب.
كذبت ثمود بطواها.
Now here is a little tricky. We have a تاء ساكنة followed by ثاء. Their place of articulation is really close. You have to make sure that the تاء is heard.
كذبت ثمود كذبت ثمود
ثمود. There should be no إدغام. You shouldn't say كذبت ثمود. Okay, and that's it for today's program. We don't have time to continue mentioning the tajweed rules of this surah. Inshallah, in the next program, we will talk about more rules of tajweed in different recitations. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in faith, you're listening to Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, the Quran is a book that can change the life of the one who is in contact with it. In this segment, Brother Yasser Ibrahim is going to tell us stories of those that their lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome back to our segment in which we look at certain stories, anecdotes, narration that look at the miraculous aspects, or rather that aspect of the Holy Quran that pulls hearts towards it. This is something that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do for us. That yes, we have the Holy Quran in our homes, but how much are we attracted to the Holy Quran? Not to its cover, or how beautiful it is written, how beautiful it is recited, but know that the words actually pull us towards it and cleanses us, which is what we see from all the anecdotes. That these people did not believe in Allah. They probably were, some of them were the worst of people. But
they understood, and the Quran cleansed them and purified them and let and enabled light to penetrate their hearts. So in continuing our story from our last segment of an individual known as Akhtham ibn Sayfi, who sent two individuals to the Holy Prophet, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited to them the 90th verse of the 16th surah of the Holy Quran, that is Surah Nahl, which is that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enjoys justice and kindness and generosity towards relatives, and forbids indecency, wrong and aggression until the end of the verse. These two individuals went back, and then this Akhtham, who probably was the head of that tribe, saw the reality and saw the truth from this particular verse, that this individual is not inviting you to anything else but good, and he's not forbidding you from anything else but bad and vice. It is only inviting you towards that which is good for yourself, and he has no benefit for himself. So it is mentioned that this individual, that is Akhtham ibn Sayfi, when he was about to pass away, and he called his family and he called all his relatives, and he gave them a will and a bequest. And he said to them that I advise you to be God conscious. Bitaqwallah. Usikum bitaqwallah. That's what we hear in the Jummah Khutbahs all the time. So I advise you to be God conscious and to maintain your relationships with your relatives. Silatul Raham, which is another very important Islamic aspect. And it then mentions that he said to his family that nothing of these two is built upon something else, meaning they are not secondary matters, they are the foundations of something. And nothing else is built upon them that will vanish or that will disintegrate. No, they are firm. That is what? Taqwa and Silatul Rahim. That is, God consciousness goes hand in hand with maintaining ties with your relatives. And that this, or rather these two aspects, are the foundations of everything else that should be built upon it. And if everything else is built upon these two firm pillars, it will never, you know, break or go away. So inshallah, we see the beauty and the power of this verse of the Holy Quran. It is the 90th verse from Surah Nahl. Inshallah, we end here and continue in our next segment, inshallah. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Lecture.
Sheikh Asad Ja'fari.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Lessons from the life of Nabi Musa alayhi salam has been an ongoing topic. Last night, our episode in this great story ended off with, now Musa has begun to build his community. after the events of the Day of Adornment and that festival on the Day of Zenith, Yom al-Zina, Musa now had a following, albeit a small following, and they had their own places of, a place of worship and their own little community where they were living amongst each other. The story picks up of a young man who was a follower of Rabbi Musa, a devout young man, a man who believed in a God of Musa. And there were two things that were very specific about him. Number one is that he was a devout child to his parents, meaning that he respected and loved them dearly. The second thing is that he overheard Nabi Musa alayhi salam one day talk about the Prophet of Allah and the Ahl al-Bayt. Nabi Musa now, before even the arrival of the Prophet of Allah, Nabi Musa was talking about the Prophet of Allah and the Ahl al-Bayt. This is all in Bihar, by the way. Talking about sending your peace on them, thinking of them, calling upon them. And so ever since he heard Nabi Musa, he would also do the same in his own sort of special way. His father owned a beautiful cow. It was gorgeous. It was golden on the outside, to the point where he would not ever ask that cow to do any work. You can graze, you can go and come as you please. You are my golden cow, as they say. You are everything. Okay? I will not press you, I won't push you, anything. The young man ran a business out of his own home. Okay? He was a merchant. He would sell and buy goods. He kept his goods inside of his home. People would come to the house, look at the goods, and buy it. Okay? And when he would leave, he would keep the keys to the closet or to the room where the goods were with his father. Okay? So if he was ever out and the customer wanted to come in, his father could open up the store basically and show them the goods. Okay. They said one day the young man came home and there were some customers who wanted to come to the door to see some goods, possibly a good sale. And the young man, when he went to go, of course, open the store to show him the goods, he realized that the key was with his father. His father was in his room sleeping. The key was under his father's pillow. Now, he could have barged in and said, "Bob, I need the key. Wake him up. I need the key. You know, and there's a possible sale now. I mean, we're reliant on everything. This is a possible sale." Instead, he didn't want to disturb his father. He was resting. His father works very hard. He was resting, and he let the customer go. When his father woke up and he found out about this, he gifted this golden cow to his son as a means of appreciation. And he prayed that you will get your reward for this in this world. Around the same time that this happened, there was a murder amongst the Bani Israel tribe of a man. Okay? A body was found. Nobody has any clue what happened. Right? They were blaming each other. It got to Nabi Musa. He declares to everybody that those who are the suspects in this murder are to come forward to swear to Allah that they didn't do it, or at least admit to their guilt or admit to their innocence. If everybody is innocent, you will all share in the blood money given to the next of kin of this individual who passed away. So they were a little bit upset. They're like, what kind of verdict is this? On number one, you want us to take this massive oath with your Lord. Number two is, even if we proclaim our innocence, we have to pay the blood money. This is ridiculous. I mean, this basically, you know, they were rejecting it. They were challenging Musa on this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realized this and sends commands to Nabi Musa. Tell them that if you want to find out who killed this man, to slaughter a cow. Bring the cow and rub it against the dead body. Musa told them this. And perhaps like you and I would react, they said, "Are you serious? What is this?" And he said, "This is." He goes, "I don't play with the words of my Lord's command, right? I don't joke around when it comes to my Lord's command. This is what the command is of my Lord." And they begin to realize that he was serious. Now look at the wording. Now I want all of you to realize the wording. And we'll go through the verses again like we do every single night. But look at the wording of these people. "Oh Musa, ask your Lord to tell us, you know, what kind of cow? Like, how old is this cow? And then they start asking all these questions about the cow. Moses said, well, it's neither old nor is it young. It's a middle-aged cow. Ask your Lord to tell us the color of this cow. It's golden on the outside. Ask your Lord to tell us what type of cow it is. We may not recognize it. Right? Basically, a cow that neither grazes all day nor works all day. Right? And they kept asking questions. Asking questions. Okay? So they get to the point where there's a cow that's middle-aged, doesn't graze too much, doesn't graze all day either, and it's golden on the outside. Okay? Let's jump scenes back to the young man inside the home. Again, you can't write this stuff. Beautiful story with an immensely important lesson at the end. This man now is sleeping in his dream now. He sees the Prophet of Allah. And beside him, the Ahlul Bayt. Again, in Bihar. And, they were proclaiming to him how much they love him and his devotion towards him, towards the Prophet of Allah and his family. And he says, the Prophet of Allah says, you will see the riches in this world, just like his father said, when they come to you asking about your cow, set the price with your mother. Meaning, don't sell the cow until you consult your mother. Okay? He sees a dream. For the very next day, these group of the Bani Israel tribe, who were obsessed with trying to solve this murder case, end up in finding out the one cow in all of this whole area that matches the description perfectly. And lo and behold, it is the cow that belonged to this young man. And they say, we want to buy the cow. And just like the dream had said, he went to his mother. His mother said that the amount of gold that the saddles of the cow can fill is the price of the cow. Now they went back to Musa. What is this? We can't afford this. This is way too much money. I mean, now they're being frustrated. What kind of joke? What is this? And Musa says to him that if you were not, questioning, you wouldn't be put in this predicament. The first command that Musa gave them was slaughter a cow. That's it. They kept asking Nabi Musa, give me the age of the cow, give me the type of the cow, give me the color of the cow. And with each question, they would place themselves in a tougher spot until they got to this one specific cow now, where this is the cow that has to be slaughtered. Nothing else matters. And if they want to know who killed this man, it has to be this cow and this cow alone. Now, if I were you, Musa says, I'd go around with the people who have money, raise some funds, and go and purchase that cow. Agreement was made. The cow was brought. The cow was slaughtered. Okay? Musa says, now, take the tail of the cow and rub it against the mayyit, the dead body. They do that, nothing happens. They're like, Musa, what is this? We did exactly what you asked us to do. He said, no, something must be wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes down and says, they haven't paid for the cow yet. Tell them to go and settle with the young man. Pay for the cow, and then you'll see. So they go and they give this family saddles worth of gold. Okay. The promise of the father now comes alive, comes true. The dream of the Prophet of Allah and the Ahlul Bayt also come true. They go back, they take the tail. Remember, had they slaughtered a simple cow, the tail would have been of any cow. There was so many cows back then, but no, that specific cow took the tail now. Strike the dead body, the dead body comes to life and tells them that my cousins killed me. Why? Because they wanted to marry this girl, I married her instead, so they killed me out of jealousy and rage. Okay? That's the story. There's more to it. Okay? There's more to it. But initially, I want you to realize a couple of points here. Okay? I have plenty of time. Number one is that some sources say that all of this gold now and this newfound wealth, because this young man now comes to Nabi Musa and says, look, I'm worried about protecting this newfound wealth. What do I do? And look at the beautiful response by Nabi Musa. The same thing you did to acquire the wealth, do the same thing to protect the wealth. If you send the salawat on Muhammad, Ali Muhammad, to acquire the wealth, send that same salawat to what? To protect that wealth. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. This, again, all in Bihar. Sources are now mawjood. It's a beautiful answer. Sometimes you think, oh my God, what's going to happen? How do I preserve my faith? The same way you got the faith, the same way you preserve the faith. It's not, How do I prepare myself for Imam Zaman? The same way you live for the Imam, the same way you prepare for the Imam. Khair. Now, the Quran refers to, and this is a little bit of an akhlaqi discussion. I don't want to go down that route. But in one of the verses in Surah Baqarah, because these next verses now are in Surah Baqarah. And as I said, that some tafsir say that the fact that this surah is named Baqarah, meaning cow, is because of this story that shows up in six verses inside of this chapter of the Quran. Okay. Now I want to read for you an excerpt from Bahar, verbatim from the book that I have here. And then we'll go through the verses one by one. Now again, Musa tells these people, after they've seen this event, that look, if you wish to have a lofty life, a great life in this world, and a station that of riches like this young man does, do what he does. Invoke the Prophet of Allah, invoke Prophet Muhammad and his family. Inshallah, you will have stability in this world and the next world. Again, a lesson for you and I. The power of salawat, the power of tawassul of the Ahlul Bayt. All this before the arrival of the Prophet of Allah. Now, this man who comes alive, he says to Nabi Musa, Nabi Musa, I just heard your advice about Prophet Muhammad. I want to do the same thing because I don't want to live a longer life. And Musa now says to him that Allah has told me that you were supposed to live for 60 years. And because you are now invoking the name of Allah, of Prophet Muhammad and the Ahlul Bayt, you will now live until 130. Okay? And this is the excerpt that I want to read from Bahar, okay? Bahar volume 13. It's a beautiful lesson for you and I. Listen very carefully to what they say, verbatim, okay? All right? From the book of God's emissaries of Shaykh Rizwan Arastu. May Allah bless him, inshallah. Okay? God then tells Nabi Musa, if those two murderers, the ones who murdered this individual, had asked me with the same conviction and through the same prayers as these young men, I mean the one man, the man who passed away, who's dead, now he has an extended life, and the young man who was the merchant, now he has this newfound wealth. Okay? To protect them against jealousy and to make them content with what I had provided them, I would have done so. Okay? So now they want to marry this girl, right? And their cousin now ends up marrying them. There's rage, there's jealousy, right? I want to marry her. Had they went back to Allah through the avenue that they were taught just now, meaning through Muhammad and Ali Muhammad, Allah would have removed that jealousy from their minds, okay? From their hearts. And would have made them content, absolutely content to believe in what they want to believe in. Okay? And then after that, he keeps going, Allah, if after committing the murder, they had repented and asked me in this way to keep their sin concealed, I would have done so. So let's say they acted on the rage and the envy. And they actually did the actual murder, like they did. And went back to Allah. Nobody knew. And they repented through Bihaqim Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad alayhi wa salam. Then I would have concealed that act. I would have forgiven them. He goes on. This is an amazing piece. I would have diverted these people from their insistence on knowing the murderer. And I would have found some other way to bestow all this wealth on this righteous young man. Okay? These were not people who were the family of the deceased. These were not people who were friends. They were just people who just were insistent on knowing who the murderers were. There are some people who just have to know. I have to know. I have to know. Allah badawna. I have to know. I have to know. Okay, you want to know? Fine. This is your insistence, right? If they had just simply asked Allah through those means, he would have removed that insistence. This whole ordeal wouldn't have happened. They would not have to pay saddles of gold. That young man would have found that risk through other means by Allah. All of this could have been avoided had they just went to Allah through the right channels. If after having their sin revealed to all, they had repented and asked me in this way to make people forget what they had done, I would have satisfied the victim's heirs and made them forego retribution and made everyone forget what crime they committed had they just came to me and repented. Even if Allah had made the sin public because they wouldn't repent. And then after being public, everyone knows these two are murderers. Allah says, had they at that moment again turned back to me, through Muhammad Ali Muhammad, he said, I would have made other people forget about the crime and actually would have made the victim's family now, forgive the retribution on the blood money that is their rights. had they went back to me for the proper channels. This is grace that I dispense to whom I wish, for I am the dispenser of vast grace. But I deprive my grace whom I wish, for I am the Almighty and the Wise.
صلِّ على محمد.